Going on right now at the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, it's a production of The Elephant Man. The show runs through November 5th at the theater on Ray Street in Cincinnati. Director Brian Isaac Phillips is here to talk about the project. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So for most people, The Elephant Man story is familiar with names like David Bowie, David Lynch, and Mel Brooks. Those last two made the 1980 movie. But that wasn't the Bernard Pomerantz play that Bowie acted in that same year. So what version are you going to be doing?
It is the Bernard Pomerantz play, and it is actually the original text as the play was first conceived. There have been some alterations made to the play with the recent production that was a Tony nominee for Best Revival in 2015 and then went on to play in the West End in London with Bradley Cooper, and they made some alterations to the script. This is the original script, so it might be your last chance to see it before they make those changes permanent.
Okay, so why don't you give us a short version? This is a real-life story of a historic figure.
Right. So Joseph Merrick, or John Merrick, was a real-life person who suffered from this ailment that basically caused his bones to be disfigured, and then that caused significant issues with what his appearance ended up being. All of the issues that he had with his appearance were based on the bone disease, and it was very rare. He was discovered by Dr. Frederick Treves, basically in a storefront in Whitechapel in London, and he was a human oddity on display. People were taking advantage of him, and Dr. Treves brought him to the Royal London Hospital. He was allowed to stay there, and the people of London actually contributed to allow him to stay there. And this is the story of how Dr. Frederick Treves met him and discovered this illness and what his life ended up being.
And what time period are we talking?
We are in 1884 through 1890 in London.
And is that a significant part of the story, that time?
Yeah, a little bit. So there are very significant Victorian values that are placed on society at this time. And as Merrick is learning how to adjust to society, he's trying to understand who creates the rules of the time. Do they come from a religious background? Do they come from a societal background? What is this structure that is in place that he is trying to adapt to and be a part of?
And from what you're telling us then, your play, the way you're doing it, is going to be set in that time period.
Yes. Yeah. We have a fantastic costume design by Abby Howson, and it is going to be a thing to see, a beauty.
Okay. So a thing to see. Now, that comes up to this question. How is Merrick's deformity portrayed on stage? Now, in the movie, you could do makeup and prosthetics and all that. But in the play, a lot of times, there's nothing like that. It's done with what?
Well, correct. So the playwright is very specific that he does not want prosthetics or makeup used. So what you need to do is find a fantastic physical actor. And that actor for us is Giles Davis, with the company for a long time. And as the illness is described, the actor sort of starts to embody it on stage in front of us. And so it's through their physical work and their vocal work that we understand, and the play, the text of the play as well, that we understand exactly what we are dealing with. But it is very specific that makeup is not the solution the playwright wants.
So a lot of that is put on the lead actor. And then the other characters in the play, are they used to like express and project reactions that people had at the time?
Yeah, absolutely. So every other character that he comes into contact with has to react as if they are seeing the actual disfigurements that Merrick had.
So we're using the other actors then to fill in the physical appearance that we hear talked about, but we actually don't see on the stage.
We don't see, but I believe that with a really great actor, which we have, you are able to allow your suspension of disbelief to take you on the journey. And Giles and other actors that play this part, when they are great, they are able to sort of carry that illusion throughout the show. And I think that Giles is achieving that, and you start to forget that you don't see the actual condition.
Now, something I read about the production that you're doing is that there are a number of audience members will be seated on the stage.
Yeah, so we have a wonderful scenic design by our new resident designer, Shannon Moore. What she has done is she's basically created a design that is very reminiscent of the operating theater at the Royal London Hospital. So the idea that doctors would be sort of sitting around and seeing Dr. Treves explain what this illness is was the inspiration. So to do that, her design creates seating opportunity for cast members as well as audience audience members to actually sit on stage as if they're in a medical operating theater.
Now, the audience on stage, I read they are asked to dress in period costumes.
Well, we have lab coats available to them so that we could make sure that the illusion is consistent so that somebody up there with their Star Wars t-shirt doesn't take you out of the play.
Now, this is an unusual play, too, because, like I said, like we mentioned before, so much of the base of the story, this one man's deformities, we don't get to see. So how does a play, you know, make this work? What elements are there to portray all this that is not seen, yet is such a physical attribute, let's say? How is that then sent out to the audience?
Well, I think when you approach the play, you have to embrace the very theatrical nature of it. It is very different from the David Lynch film in that it asks the designers and actors and audience to embrace that theatricality. We have a projection designer working on the show. We use a projection screen to put out Bernard Pomerantz's titles. He titled every single scene, so we have our scene breaks signified through those projections. But also we're able to use that to show the audience actual pictures of Merrick. So when you first see the actor who is playing the role, he comes out next to a projection of the real life Elephant Man. And so we get a sense of, as we see him transform into that, we get a sense of exactly what he's attempting to portray.
Now, you also mentioned that the recent production that was on Broadway and in the West End of London was different from the original script. What changes did they make?
So there are a couple of characters that are called the Pinheads in the script, and they were removed from the most recent production. We have them in the show. We are continuing to do the two scenes that have those characters in them, and that's the most significant difference, I think.
So have you seen the production?
I did. I did see the London production.
And did you find anything interesting that you put into your production?
I will say that I was inspired by what an opportunity the play is for a gifted cast. I was not necessarily inspired by the production, but I thought that we had a handful of really fantastic actors in Cincinnati that would be able to, if they got their hands on this material, knock it out of the park. And I think that they're doing that. So I was inspired by the challenge to do better.
So we've been talking about the production of The Elephant Man that's going through November 5th at the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. Let's talk about some of the rest of the season.
Yeah, after Elephant Man closes, we're going to be doing William Shakespeare's comedy Much Ado About Nothing. It's going to be set during the American Revolution, which is a time period we have not designed or staged before. It's directed by Sarah Clark, and it's going to be a fantastic comedy. And after that, we have our 11th annual production of our holiday tradition, which is Every Christmas Story Ever Told, and then some.
Okay, you got to explain that one. That's a great title right there. So
we have four actors that basically take every single holiday classic you can think of and go through them in 90 minutes. So this way you can have every holiday traditional show, TV show, movie that you can think of, and you can get it all done in 90 minutes so you can get back to your shopping. It's very funny. It has been a sellout hit for us for 10 years and continues to be so.
So we've got Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, you will see Jimmy Stewart, and you will see Sarah Clark, who's directing Much Ado About Nothing, do one of the best Jimmy Stewart impressions you'll see.
How about Chevy Chase in the National Lampoon Christmas?
Little Chevy Chase.
Okay.
It's not the holidays without a little Chevy Chase.
Okay, it's all in there. Also, Raisin in the Sun, that's coming up.
Yeah, so Lorraine Hansberry's classic Raisin in the Sun is going to be in the spring. We're very excited to be producing this play. We have a wonderful director joining us from Las Vegas who has worked with the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival. And that's going to be great. Jeffrey Barnes is going to be playing a lead in that, as well as Burgess Bird and Tori Wiggins. It's going to be a fantastic cast. Before we do Raisin in the Sun, we're going to be finishing our history cycle, which we've been working on for the last 4 years. And that will be concluding with Henry VI, War of the Roses Part II, and Richard III. Most people know Richard III. They don't know Henry VI. I think this is a fascinating opportunity because Richard actually shows up at the end of Henry VI. So this is a way to get to see the entire journey of the villain king in Richard III and get a better sense of perspective on what's going on at the beginning of Richard III. And then our season's going to end with William Shakespeare's The Tempest. It's our last show at 719 Ray Street before we move over to the corner of 12th and Elm with our brand new facility. And this was considered to be Shakespeare's farewell to the theater as a playwright. So it will be our farewell to the space that has been our home for the last 16, 17 years before we start a new era for Cincinnati Shakespeare Company.
Well, let's talk about the new place now. This is actually just a few blocks from where we are right now.
Right, we're neighbors.
So what's the big difference here? I mean, you know, you've been spending all those years in the converted movie theater, and now it's your own space?
Yeah, it's a storefront, old single-screen movie theater that we've been in. So we've had significant vertical and horizontal challenges as far as our backstage space and design space, and it's limited to how much audience we can actually seat. The new space will be a flexible thrust where we're going to be adding about 100 seats to our capacity. And with that thrust, the audience will be able to sort of wrap around the stage as well as have balcony seating. So we're going to increase our capacity, but while we are also doubling our intimacy. So people that worry when they see the new building and think that it's going to be very big and they're going to be far away from the action, that's not the case. You will still be able to be spit on by the actors or see them sweat. You'll be right up in the action. But with that intimacy, we will have backstage capabilities and resources that will allow us to better realize the ambitious designs of our artists. It also increases our capacity for our education program to be able to have classroom space in the new building, performance spaces for students in a way that we've not been able to do before. So we have a very robust education program that I think is about to explode because of our new capacity.
So you're right next door to the School for Creative and Performing Arts, too.
That's correct. Yeah, I think it's a wonderful location with being so close to Music Hall, with the opera, the symphony, the ballet, Memorial Hall, SCPA, very close to Ensemble Theater of Cincinnati and No Theater. It's really a wonderful arts district that we get to join, and we're very excited about it.
So that's all coming up with Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. The production of The Elephant Man is going on now. Thank you very much, Brian Isaac Phillips, the director of The Elephant Man, who's been here for a few moments. Thank you very much for telling us about what's going on with the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company.
Thank you for having me.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.